Okay,
Sorry.
welcome you up to James chapter 1. James chapter 1.
Yep.
James 1, there you go. I'm going to read the first 14 verses. Chapter 1, 1 to 14.
Yep.
James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect or mature and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation, but the rich in his humiliation, because as a flower of the field he will pass away. For no sooner has the sun risen with a burning heat than it withers grass. Its flower falls and its beautiful appearance perishes. So the rich man also will fade away in his pursuits. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been proved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say that when he's tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. We'll end it there. Well, you've got the two words there, and I'm using the New King James here. And when you think of the word trial, as in verse 2.
Don, sorry, just a moment.
Oh, Ella.
Here's Ella with William.
Oh.
Hi.
Hello.
On the left.
Hello.
Sorry, I had to with William quite unexpectedly.
We're in James chapter 1, Ella. We'll give you time. Ella, we're in James chapter 1. Letter of James chapter 1.
I may listen more today.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, else. That's great. No, yeah. Anyway, lovely to see you both. Mm-hmm. And William there, he looked gorgeous.
Yeah.
Yes, he's half asleep. Carolyn had to work and her mother-in-law was going to take him, but got the 8 o'clock wrong. Thought it was eight tonight.
Oh, I'm okay. Sweet little boy.
There he is. Say hi.
Hello.
Hello, William.
Hello.
Yeah. Oh, here he goes to play.
Oh,
look out.
Anyway, it's lovely.
Dangerous weapon.
Thank you. Okay. Lovely to see you.
The word James, how wonderful. I like James. I'll go get
my James Bible. Chapter 1. Chapter okay. 1.
Yeah. Get a look in the Bible. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And then comes Romans. Go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah.
We read the first 14 verses of James chapter 1, Ella.
Okay.
And a thought here, is there any difference between the word trial or test and temptation? Yes, there is.
Oh, yes.
Oh. If you look at verse 13, it says, let no one say when he's tempted, I'm tempted by God. So God doesn't tempt. Now, you may have the authorized version, I don't know, whether you've got in verse 2, may brethren count it all joy when you fall into various trials. I've got the word trials here, which is a better word. Have you got temptation there?
Yes.
Well, the better word is trial. because trials come from the Lord. Tests come from the Lord. Temptations come from the devil. I think that's plain and clear. Because God doesn't tempt in verse 13. Let no one say when he's tempted, I'm tempted by God. Because God can't be tempted by evil. And therefore he will not tempt us. So the testing and the trial, why does the Lord allow tests and trials? Well, you can see in verse 3 and 4, one of the reasons, or two of the reasons. Testing of your faith produces patience. In other words, as you go through the trial and the test, you simply have to wait till you get through it. And the tests and the trials come from the Lord. And you can see one is to produce patience. And so when you, that you may be perfect or mature and complete, lacking nothing. So there's a purpose in the Lord sending us trials and tests. It's for our maturity. It says in verse 4 that you may be perfect, or should we say mature down here, and complete, lacking nothing. So the tests and the trials are from the Lord. And the whole point of this from the New Testament Greek is this, that tests and trials are sent and produced by the Lord for us to produce something good. That's very important. I underline that. Tests and trials are given to us in order to produce something good, a fruit. And one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit, of course, you know, is patience. So that's from the Lord. No question about that. Now, this letter by James was probably the first one written about AD 45, 15 years after the church was formed. And he wrote this letter, the whole five chapters, very practical. Now, Martin Luther thought this letter was a letter of straw, nothing good in it. Oh, far from that. There's a lot in it, and it's a very practical letter. So it was probably written about AD 45, 15 years after the church was formed. And James is writing, you can see in verse 1, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. So he's writing to Jewish people, believers mainly. Now, these Jewish believers had a problem, especially in Israel and around Jerusalem. Like the letter to the Hebrews. Bruce, these Jewish believers were pressured to go back under the law and Judaism and to go back to worship in the temple and animal sacrifices. And that was quite a temptation. It wasn't a test from the Lord in a sense, because the Lord sends tests and trials for our good, for our producing the fruits of the Spirit, one of which is patience. And this was a temptation for man, and should we say the devil as well, to go back under the law, because it would have made life much easier. They wouldn't have been harassed by their fellow Jews. So James writes to these Jewish believers, shall we say, what benefit to us too. Verse 2, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, because the Lord is going to produce something good out of it. Now we don't, in a sense, find joy when we go through them, but the end of it will be joy. It will be, in a sense, blessing and growth, strength and encouragement, and the Lord sees us through. Now, in one sense, shall we put it this way, in tests and trials, just think of those three friends of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego. When they refused to worship this huge golden statue, Nebuchadnezzar probably, and they were faced with the furnace, they wouldn't give in. They were in the furnace, but the Lord was with them in it. Well, that's a pretty severe test, isn't it? And a trial. But all that fire did was to burn the ropes that bound them up. And they came out and not a smell of smoke on them or fire. So that had a great effect upon Nebuchadnezzar and all those around them, even when it was heated seven times hotter. And the men who threw them in, they perished. But these three friends of Daniel did not. What a test, what a trial. But they came through. with the presence of the Lord bringing them through, and what an effect that had on the king. So they were Jewish believers of the Old Testament, of course. Well, we're thinking of Jewish believers of the New Testament and ourselves. So the point of this letter is to encourage believers, mainly the Jewish believers, as they go through. Now, James is adding a bit later on that our faith is shown by our works. Of course, that's true. It's how you serve the Lord proves your faith and who you belong to. Now, that seemed to some people in conflict with what Paul said. You were saved by grace through faith and not of yourselves. But James says, well, you show your faith by your works. There's no argument between the two writers, James and Paul. No difficulty. I'm sure Paul would agree with James. You do demonstrate your faith by what you do, what you believe, and by a witness, and you're serving the Lord. So that's very clear. And James says, well, you show me your faith by your works. Well, that's very practical, and that's a very thing to do. We are called to be witnesses. So that's something. Also, in a sense, as you said, faith gets tested in order that it should grow stronger, like those three in the furnace. And that's so different than being tempted. Temptations come from the devil to try and knock you down, trip you up. But no, tests from the Lord are meant to help you to grow and get strong. What a difference they are, isn't it? That's certainly true. And if you look in verse 14 of James 1, each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Well, you can go back to original in the Garden of Eden when the serpent, Satan in disguise, really brought temptation into Adam and Eve and they fell. Well, that's the enemy's work, temptation. Tempted away by their own desire. Well, they saw the fruit was good to eat, to taste. They saw it. They wanted it. That's temptation. James has a lot to say about that. John has a lot to say about that as well. That he said the problem is, he said, when we face the Christian life, there's the world, the flesh, and the devil that is in opposition to us. But that's where the temptations come in. The tests and trials are to produce something good in our lives, in order that we might be more fruitful in our lives, get stronger, and we have the experience, especially of the presence of the Lord, like the three in the furnace. So in other words, it's so important. We live by faith, we walk by faith, and that is all a fruit of our salvation, of course, which is ongoing all the time. So in other words, when James was writing to these Jewish believers and to us, and as with the book of Hebrews also, Hebrews says Christ is vastly superior to the law, to Judaism, to sacrifices. He's a better high priest. It's a better covenant. It's a better blood for our salvation. So Christ is vastly superior. And James would highlight that as well as Hebrews does. So that is very useful to us. So there is, if you go down to verse 12 of chapter 1, blessed is the man who endures temptation. Now that's coming from the enemy. For when he's been proved, even in the temptation experience, we're called to resist the devil and he will flee from us. I often use, and I mean often here, that when the enemy comes to attack my mind, which he does, as he does with you as well, go over to chapter 4 with me, would you? This is something very practical, and James is a very practical letter. In James chapter 4, how do we deal with temptations when they come? We know where they come from. In James chapter 4 and verse 7, chapter 4 and verse 7, there are three things here, all in order. A very important order too. James 4, verse 7. Note the order. Submit to God, to the Lord. 1.1. Resist the devil. 2. And he will flee from you. That's the result. You must do that in order. And he must flee from you. What did Jesus do? He used the scriptures. You can use the scriptures. Jesus quoted from Deuteronomy 3 times. It is written. It is written. It is written. The enemy hates the word. but he has to obey it. That's just something practical, which James is all about as well, of course. But therefore, there is a reward for just enduring temptation and also experiencing trials from two different sources. What is the reward in verse 12? That man who is blessed with what? Well, he will receive the crown of life. You'll win through in spiritual life, eternal life. You'll win through without a doubt.
Where was that?
Back to chapter 1.
James chapter 1, verse 12.
That makes more sense. Thank you.
Back in chapter 1. Sorry, Ella. Chapter 1 again. And verse 12. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, but when he's been proved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Well, as you saw in James, submit yourself to the Lord. You resist the devil by the word of God, and he must leave you. That's your victory. It's the word of God promised to you. Use it. Practical? Yes. It's not a letter of straw, as Luther said. It's practical and very useful and powerful. Now, I've said before that tests and trials are to produce something good in our lives. That's the meaning of the New Testament Greek in this. Now, when you think about it, you endure or you go through, like endurance, tests and trials. Now think back on a normal everyday situation. Think of when aircraft are produced, or let's say a brand new aircraft or a brand new ship. They have to go through trials and tests, don't they? Before they're found to be airworthy or roadworthy and given that certification. But they have to go through the, if you like, God, the, for us anyway, it's like going through God's test bed. It's like an engine when it, before it's put in the aircraft, it's tested. Then it's approved and is useful for service. So you and I, we're tested, and we shall be even more useful and fruitful in serving the Lord as well. So if you like, both the aircraft and the ship are on maneuvers for testing ground. And you and I are on God's testing ground. Or if you like the engine of the aircraft being tested, on God's test bed. We're being tested. And we're being put through trials. And it will produce something good. Growth, strength, confidence, experience. All those things are that which is good for us. So it's important. Now, of course, faith is important. We know that. Paul said we're saved by faith in the Lord's redeeming work. And James says, will you show me a faith by your works? Well, Abraham did. You know, over the test that he had over the offering of Isaac. Of course, you know that very well, don't you? And we're told in the scriptures, if you'd like to go to back to Romans chapter 4, Romans chapter 4. And the whole chapter 4 is about Abraham being justified or put right or accepted by the Lord through his exercise of faith. He can't be justified by works. Look at verse 2 of Romans 4. Romans 4 and verse 2. If Abraham was justified by works, he had something in which to boast, but not before God. He couldn't boast. We're not saved by works. We're saved, and we work from that point. So, verse 3, Abraham believed God and was accounted to him for righteousness. Abraham put his faith in the Lord. He trusted him. If you go down to verse 20, cutting it short a bit, verse 20. This is Abraham. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith. There's a point, isn't it? Strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. Abraham was brought through. Now he was given the test of Isaac. Now he had no other family that was, in a sense, appointed by the Lord. I know he had Ishmael. But Isaac is a child of promise, not Ishmael. And yet here he was put to the test of having Isaac as a sacrifice. Now, back in Genesis, if you go back to Genesis, go back there. Go back to Genesis with me, would you? To 22. And you see what I'm getting at. In Genesis chapter 22. This is over the incident, of course, of the test of Isaac being put to the point, if you like, being put to the point. In Genesis 22, and if you look in verse 5, what did he say to the other men who came with him, probably his servants? Genesis 22 and verse 5. Abraham said to his young men who had accompanied him, stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you.
All right.
Wow. Oh, really? What confidence in the Lord. What faith he had. We're going to come back. Yes, Isaac. And Hebrews says something extremely interesting. Hebrews tells us that if it was necessary, of course it wasn't, the Lord would have resurrected Isaac. And Abraham believed it too. Oh my. And Abraham gave glory to God. I'm not surprised. He wasn't put to the final test, was he? Abraham believed that he and Isaac would return to the men that he left there waiting, away from the sacrifice altar. And of course, a ram took its place. Remarkable, isn't it? Now, you and I live in really testing times, so that's pretty obvious, isn't it? So it's a very practical word here. And like us in Hebrews, Hebrews tells us that Abraham believed God and that he would raise up Isaac, if need be, in resurrection. Of course, it wasn't necessary. But Abraham would have believed that because he said, we're going to come back. What a remarkable man he must have been. So you and I go through, and particularly in these days, I think to say, we're living in real testing times, aren't we? Real trials, in a sense, all around us. And of course, we know the enemy does attack us even more. So by exercising our faith and walking with the Lord, we get stronger Christians, and our obedience is there. You needn't turn to it, but I'm quoting you Hebrews 11, verse 34. If you want to turn to it, you can. Hebrews 11, verse 34. It says this. Weakness is made strong through endurance. Hebrews. And doing exploits or service for the Lord. Hebrews 11, verse 34. Weakness is made strong through endurance. Tests and trials, and doing exploits for the Lord. Now, you and I can work righteousness in every aspect of our daily life, can't we? We can be witnessing, we turn to the Lord, we read his word, we pray, we have a quiet time available for the Lord to use us as he will. And again, in Hebrews 11, the previous verse, 33, all these men of the Old Testament all listed the heroes of faith. In Hebrews 11, the summary is this. Through faith, they wrought righteousness. Through faith, they served the Lord. And the witness to their lives is pretty obvious. You can read the list, you know. Heroes of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. Through faith, they wrought righteousness. They worked it. So that's wonderful, isn't it? So James tells us to something be very, very practical. Now, would you go to the last chapter of James? Go to the last chapter of James, if you will. Chapter 5. And here's something very practical.
Last one.
Chapter. James chapter 5. And would you look at verses 7 and 8? Chapter 5, verses 7 and 8.
I'm sorry, I thought we were still on
Hebrews. Let's read them. 7 and 8, chapter 5. Therefore, be patient, brethren, he ends where he starts, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rains. Well, he sows seed in order to expect a harvest. Otherwise, he wouldn't bother to sow seed, would he? Now, verse 8, you also be patient, like the farmer. Establish your hearts. Get strong. For the coming of the Lord is at hand. It's near. And we can say that even more so than AD 45.
Yeah.
When Paul spoke about the rapture, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, he said, we which are alive and remain, he expected the rapture in his day. We. He identified himself with the we, those who were alive at the time. He said, we expect to go. Well, that was a long time ago, wasn't it? You see, none of those early disciples, the apostles, they never knew how long the church age would be. Neither do we. But Paul said, well, our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. And that's very true. And I think looking around us today, not that the church needs signs, we don't have signs. But it seems pretty clear to me that the coming of the Lord is drawing even very near. That seems so, doesn't it? So James does challenge us, be patient, brethren. Be patient, establish your hearts until the real coming of the Lord. So we've got that word at the beginning. Go back to James 1, please. We've got that word in verse 2. My brethren, talking to his fellow believers, Jewish believers in this case, count it all joy. Count it joy when you get into various trials. Count it all joy. Well, as an attitude of ourselves, we're to reckon it to be like that. Count it. Add it up. Give thought to what you're going through. Count it up. What good is going to come out of this? Well, the Lord will make sure there is something. Count it. It refers to an attitude of our lives within us, how we face trial, how we face tests, and face temptations from the enemy. So this is a heart and mind principle, isn't it? Our attitude. And one thing that is so encouraging here, like James 5, the coming of the Lord is drawing near. Think forwards. When we go to tests and trials, it's a good thing to do to think forwards when we get through. That does help. It balances things out, doesn't it? We get through God's test bed of trial and testing. It may be a bit difficult now, but look ahead. We're going to get through it. And there's something good coming out of it. So James is a very, very practical letter. We might even feel trodden down sometimes. Some people feel depressed or discouraged or trodden down by the circumstances. Well, that might be God's test bed. It could be temptation, of course. And we need wisdom of the Lord, like James 1, verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, ask the Lord. Lord, I can see a difference in your test and trial and the enemy temptation. Because the temptation is to try and cause us to trip up and to fail the Lord and sin. The tests and trials are there to strengthen us. See the difference? Very plain, isn't it? So we may feel discouraged or disheartened in some way, some days. That's human nature. We can do. But I want to encourage you with a quote from Psalm 30. Psalm 30. And verse 5, you look it up if you wish to. Psalm 30 and verse 5. It's encouraging. Those going through trials and difficulties, temptations and hard times, and my goodness, the number of believers in the world today that are suffering persecution. Psalm 30, second part of verse 5. Weeping may endure for a night, be period. But joy comes in the morning. We get through.
Yeah.
We get through. Very important. So in other words, this is an important word, joy. Let joy lead you on to consider circumstances that be more favorable ahead. Favorable circumstances that are ahead, which be more bearable. going through tests and trials, or even temptations. You see, tests and trials do come from outsiders, of course, from the Lord, as do indeed temptations do. And we need the wisdom of the Lord to know the difference. And those things, both of them, tests, trials, temptations, they're outside of our control in one sense. But in a sense, you do have control. You can submit to the ways of the Lord. It's an attitude of mind, counting it joy. And you can resist the devil. That's very positive as well, isn't it? So that is in our control in one sense. Sometimes a difficulty within ourselves, maybe. See, that you have probably a wavering there, don't you? But if any man doubts, verse 6, if you lack wisdom, ask the Lord. Let him ask in faith with no doubting, no wavering. He who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. And that man won't receive anything from the Lord. Well, a bit of a, he's called a double-minded man. He's this way and he's that way. He's this way and he's that way. So that's something else in there. Now, in other words, faith under fire. Well, I suppose somebody's written many a book on that title. Faith under fire. Well, true, in some areas, some more difficult than others. Now, this word in the New Testament Greek is very interesting. The word for test or trial is parasmos. It relates to the experience of the trial, because the experience of a trial will produce something good. It's the experience of it. It's not something which is there in fairy out there. You're going through. It's the experience. In other words, that, whatever it is, whatever experience it is, will be producing something good in our lives. There is something to accomplish. The Lord is indeed working on our lives. One day we shall be presented to him in his likeness, in character, quality of life. We'll be like a man, see him as he is. We need to be prepared to see him, you know. Can you imagine standing before the Lord Jesus Christ in all his glory and splendor and majesty? Oh, I must tremble at the thought. But we're not meant to, because he's our Savior and friend, our Lord and bridegroom. But nevertheless, I think that'll be quite some experience, won't it? So the Lord is building up a readiness for that time. He's preparing us for that time. He's looking at the long time ahead, maybe not too far now, when we shall see him as he is and be called up to meet him. Resurrection, rapture, whatever. That's it. So the whole point here is it's meant to produce something good. It's meant to produce growth as well as good. So in other words, trials should be, in a sense, counting it with joy. Lord, you're working this out for your own purpose. Your wisdom and blessing is for my blessing. And you're working to that extent. Well, this is only the first chapter of James, but it's wonderful, isn't it? So in all these things, in trials and tests and temptations, we need to lean on the Lord. Lord, I'm depending on you to get me through this. And be steady. Be stable. And get through. Well, it sounds very theoretical, but really it's meant to be practical. So these tests and trials should encourage joy and the experience during the trials. Lean on him, depend on him in these difficult circumstances. We certainly find them now. But how else could the genuineness of our faith be real to us? Now, obviously, it's like an examination day, isn't it? But there's a future examination day coming from the church when we're with the Lord at the Bema. It's an examination day for blessing, not condemnation. The Lord has been through that for us. No, it's for blessing and reward. It's a reward throne. So that's important to think about that. So he is wanting to produce a genuine spiritual life in us. No make-believe, no double-mindedness, as we've got here in James 1, but a genuine believing and honesty before the Lord and man. Genuineness of our believing. Real, not pretense, no pretense. No, no. So there's another word for trial, and that's dokimion. doesn't mean the trial itself, but whatever's causing the trial, what instrument in the Lord's hand is causing the trial. Parasmos is the experience of a trial. Dokimen is the actual trial itself, but the instrument causing the trial. Maybe a circumstantial in our life around us every day. That's the instrument in God's hand that he's using. Because through all sorts of things, could come through illness, could come through unemployment, could come through lack of finance, it could come through bereavement. That's the instrument that God is using to see how we get on, how we face these things. All very practical, isn't it? So this is how it is. Would you go back to a psalm with me? Just have a little break in conversation. Psalm 119, wrong one, isn't it? Psalm 119. And the verse we want is 75. 75. Verse 75.
Oh, yeah, good one.
It is a good one. Psalm 119, verse 75. I know, O Lord, that your judgments are right. What he does with us is always right. And that in faithfulness, you have afflicted me. I'm going through the trial and the test. You've done it, Lord. You may be using the circumstances, the instrument in your hand to do it. Or it may be just directly within me. You, in a sense, allowed me to have a hard time. You know, the world watches us as believers. When we go through trials, tests, circumstances, bereavement, loss of unemployment, loss of employment, or maybe whatever it is, the world, all right, that person's a Christian. I know they're Christian. Now, how are they going to react to all that? Ah, that may speak to them how real you are, how real your faith in the Lord really is. And that's a great witness. That you stand firm and go through. Around the instrument of God's testing have its way. He'll bring us through. I proved that myself through bereavement, and you have in various ways. So all these things are on God's testbed and trial to produce something good in our lives. It comes through beneficial. Now, all right, he has afflicted us with a purpose. All right, go back to James, please, would you? Just looking at the time, won't take too long over this. In verse 3, you've got the word knowing. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. We need to know that. Know what's happening. Know what it is. What is the Lord doing? What the enemy is getting at too. Know. Look at the circumstances. Look at the Lord. Don't look within too much, but look at the Lord. Lord, what are you doing? Why are you doing it? It's important. Knowing. Lord, we need understanding. We need discerning to be able to discern. We need to distinguish trial from temptation too, for starters. And to know what's happening. So think, as I finish now, think of the results. Think about the results. The fruit of our trials, the fruit of our tests, is producing patience. Let patience have its perfect work. Let the trial have its perfect work through exercising your patience to endure and get through. We gain a lot from it. Yes, patience, enduring, having the ability to undergo that as well. And of course, patience waits for blessing. Patience waits for blessing. That's really good, isn't it?
Yeah.
So trials become fruitful for us and in our lives. Not just for us, Marita, but in our lives. It produces good fruit. Now I'm going back, please, to one psalm and Romans. First, Psalm 66. Psalm 66. Go back there. Psalm 66, if you will. And we need verses 10 to 12. Psalm 66, 10 to 12. There's a good summary of this afternoon. Psalm 66, verse 10 to 12. For you, O God, have proved me. David knew a lot about that. So many of these psalms are experienced. For you, O Lord, have proved me, proved us. You have refined us as silver is refined. You brought us into the net. You laid affliction on our backs. You caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but you brought us out to rich fulfillment. I'm reading New King James here. You brought us out to rich fulfillment. That's a purpose. That's a purpose. Whether you underline your Bible, I don't know, whether you make a note, but make a note of that verse. You'll bring us through to rich fulfillment. It'll all be worth it. And the last one is in Romans 5. Go forward to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verses 3 to 5. Romans 5, verses 3 to 5. I'll just summarize verses 1 and 2, first of all, to bring the context. We're justified by faith, have peace with God, verse 1. Through Christ we have access into this grace, and we can rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. How about that? You see, that's what lies ahead, the hope of the glory of God. Now, verse 3. And not only that, if that wasn't enough, but we also glory in tribulations. That's not the great tribulation. This is everyday trials and tests and temptations. Now, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, being able to press on, and perseverance, character. See, the Lord is producing his character in us. Think of what he went through and what he endured. And character produces hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because there's a promise from him. Because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given to us. Hope doesn't disappoint us, never will. We have a blessed hope in the soon appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. The hope of his coming true. Keep that ahead of us. Look ahead. It'll be all worth it. And as I think a psalmist or a hymn writer, who it was, said, it'll all be worth it when we see Jesus. Okay. Mm-hmm. It'll all be worth it when we see Jesus. So at the moment, we're traveling through trials, traveling through tests. And the temptations also come from the enemy. He tries to put a spoke in our wheel. Keep strong in the Lord. Keep strong in the Lord. He's bringing us through, producing patience, perseverance, and a good hope. I hope James chapter 1, just those few verses, are helpful and practical to each one of us.
Yes, thank you.